And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0, coming out of Hamilton, going throughout the Waikato. I hope you guys are having a lovely summer's day out there. It's warm. Has been humid, hasn't it? And a little bit of rain around Whangaroa today. So we're going to have a look at a few different things today, but while I get myself organised, here goes traffic, many mile to freedom. I'll be back with that after some primary sector headlines.
Smile.
That's Traffic there. Stevie Winwood in Traffic with Many Mile Freedom. Now it's on some primary sector headlines here on the Over the Fence show. And all areas of the Coromandel scallop fishery will now be fully closed for 3 months as the population continues to decline. This follows the scallop fisheries in Northland, most of the Coromandel and the Hauraki Gulf being shut down in March, except for around a Little Barrier Island and the Colville Channel. Oceans and Fisheries Minister David Parker said these emergency measures were to protect scallops and their habitats, while officials undertook a full review of the fishery following a serious decline in scallop numbers. And a new $5 million hatchery of oyster spat in Nelson is aiming to ensure a reliable supply for New Zealand's largest oyster producer, Moana, New Zealand. Moana's chair, Rachel Otolile, said the new hatchery named Kiri Kiri Tātangi was part of its oyster, or teal, transformation project, which is in all a $21 million project over a five-year investment to grow capacity. Marlborough winemakers Yeelands has signed a lucrative new contract with UK supermarket giant Tesco and has also doubled its sales in the US. Chief Executive Tiffany Graydon said that one factor was our sustainability ethos and how that comes through in terms of the wine, but also the broader company's ethos around sustainability. And Yeelands Family Wines won the Green Company of the Year award in leading global sustainability. And a new study on the survival rates of snapper that are caught and then released could help fishers save hundreds of thousands of fish per year and improve sustainability. The research project commissioned by Fisheries New Zealand and undertaken by NIWA, it's a National Institute of Water and Atmosphere, and Ngāti Kuta Legacy and Blue Water Marine Research, looked at survival rates of snappers that were caught and released by recreational fishers and found that about 85% of the fish were still alive at the end of the first experiment. And a fishing company, Sanford, have ordered three new hybrid diesel electric boats to help reduce the company's carbon emissions. Sanford has signed a contract with Netherlands-based Damon Shipbuilding Maaskant to design and build the vessel to catch scampi in the Southern Ocean. The diesel-electric propulsion and CO2 refrigerants are less harmful to the environment, and the seakeeping capabilities of the vessel will be significantly improved, said Sanford General Manager of Fishing, Colin Williams. So there we are. There's some primary sector headlines for you, and many of them were on fishing, weren't they, folks, and things like that. So that's what we're going to get into later on. We're going to have a look at the New Zealand fisheries industries. But firstly, I'm going to play The Clash, and then we'll come back some weather. So here's English Civil War live at Shea Stadium.
Here's a song your granddaddy would know, so get him out to sing along. Johnny, come on, marching home again. He's coming by the storm of love. Woman's always shed a tear. See his face, she's beaten him down. Just around the corner in the Civil War. He's still at the stage of books and fists. The blue and face got beaten to death. Face was blue and the light on the screen. Watch this speech, light on the screen. Newborn army marching on ahead. We're trying to come a marching home again.
Yes, The Clash, live at Shea Stadium, redoing an old English, I guess, folk song. We're the time now on the Over the Fence Show, and Ridge lies over New Zealand today, bringing mainly settled weather, with a northeasterly airflow flowing around the outer northern side of the ridge, pushing into the North Island, which brings rain or showers. The airflow means rain, maybe heavy falls for the east of the upper North Island, especially the Coromandel and other exposed areas in the east. In the new week, there is expected to be above average rainfall throughout New Zealand. And with that comes a tropical feeling of high humidity and mugginess. And it's certainly been on there the last few days, hasn't it? Making for maybe some uncomfortable sleeps. And come Tuesday, this will change as a cool southwesterly change kicks in. So here in the Waikato, it's going to be mostly cloudy with rain, perhaps heavy falls, then easing back this afternoon, and easterly winds are freshening. And yeah, it's been showery or rainy most of the morning here. As I look out the window of Regular Community Radio HQ here on Bow Street in the Town Hall, it's looking, it's not raining at the moment, and the tar ceiling, that's pretty dry, and it's not so windy out there at the moment. And so for the week, it's going to be rain today, showers tomorrow and Friday. Rain Saturday, shower Sunday, maybe thunderstorms into next week. It was more beautiful December rain. Good for the grass and the gardens, isn't it, folks? And the daytime temperatures this week range from between 20 and 24 degrees Celsius. And nighttime temperatures range from 16 to 18 degrees this week. So, yeah, kind of warm in bed at night. And winds are easterly today, east northeasterly tomorrow, northeasterly Friday, northerly Saturday, northwesterly Sunday, westerly Monday, northwesterly Tuesday. Humidity today somewhere between 80 and 89%. The sun rose this morning at 8:52 a.m. and will set at 8:38 p.m. The length of visible light is 15 hours and 47 minutes, and the actual day length is 14 hours and 44 minutes. A lot of fours in that one. And tomorrow will be 28 seconds longer than today. And that's getting shorter and shorter. The longer and longer is getting shorter and shorter, if that makes any sense here, folks, as we near the summer solstice, which is on the 20th or 21st, something like that. And the beautiful moon, ladies and gentlemen, will rise at 12:32 a.m. and will set at 10:45 a.m. And I've been seeing it when I get up in, out the window in the mornings to the north. Looking nice, and beautiful starry nights, last couple of nights too, mostly. And the moon is somewhere between 68 and 73% illuminated, and is in the waning gibbous phase. Rainfall this week. Three streams had 40 mils. Thanks for that one, Callum. And Tahutawai is at 38 mils. Thank you for that one, Craig. So, yeah, still a good dose of rain, which is all good. Yeah, I know some folks might be thinking it's summer and, you know, want to go sunbathing or whatever, but all December rain's good rain, and you'll be charging up those aquifers for the rest of summer, which is all good. All right, there's your weather for you. I'm going to come back soon with some gardening to-dos. Meantime, here is the Sneaky Feelings, Your Secret Safe with me.
Now I'll go into the next room and I'll work this out somehow. A little bit of doubt crept up on me when we were kissing, so I went and checked the safe. That's when I found the jewels were missing. Still I was raised a holy kid to love my enemy, and I'm not telling what you did. Your secret safe with me. Now don't go breaking down on me, don't.
The Sneaky's there with your secret safe with me, and it's gardening time here on the Over the Fence Show. And if you're gardening by the moon today and tomorrow, is an excellent time to plant out main season crops of potatoes, like agaria and heather, in trenches lined with comfrey. And from Friday, good time to mulch, water, and to feed the gardens and tie up and de-lateral the tomatoes. And this month is great to start planting these things. At least some basil, beans, beetroot, blueberries, capsicums, carrots, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, eggplant, fuchsias, gerbera, impatiens, kumara, lavender, lettuce, marigold, mesclun, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, pumpkin, squash, radish, silver beet, spring onion, sweet corn, and tomatoes. So there's a few gardening to-dos, and isn't everything just ripping out of the ground with this beautiful weather we're having, folks, so far this December? A bit of a treat for us, isn't it? And on Saturday night, as it goes, I was down at the yard watching Lawrence Arabia on the Developed World Tour, and it was a very good show. You know, it seemed like a bloke with good humour, you know, cracking the funnies, and it was good. It was a good vibe, and the fans were there, were loving it, and the band, you could see, was also enjoying playing. It was a really good gig, and yeah, good on you, Brian and Omi, and the crew down the yard. It was, the sounds was great, and a very enjoyable night. Good gig. And so here's his latest song, The Developed World, Lawrence Arabia. There we are, folks. That's Lawrence Arabia there with Developed World. And it's public service announcement time here now on the Over the Fence Show. And what have I got for you this week? Of course, the Whangarei Environment Centre Tool Library is open today. So you can go in there and get some tools and that if you remember. And sign up's easy enough. Oh, the headphones have just died. What's happened here? Doesn't matter. And so, yes, you can go in there and get that kind of stuff. Surfing for Farmers, of course, is this evening as well. So don't forget about that one. But from 5 o'clock, turn up at the Surf Club. So you can go in there and free surfing lessons, free wetsuits, everything like that. And then there's Barbie and a couple of beers after that. So that's at 5 o'clock tonight up at the Surf Club. So get along to that one. And I think this is the last one for the year. And then they're going to start again later on in January. So, yep, that's it's a good fun evening. And I might try to get up there. We'll see how we go later on. What else do we have here? We also have, of course, on Saturday, the Community Safety Day in Whangaroa. What's this one all about? Well, learn how about what's happening in the community and how you can become involved. There's going to be police dogs, sausage sizzle, police cars. Come along and meet our local police crew. Share your ideas about community safety, what you love about Raglan and what makes you feel safe. Hear about what's been planned from, of course, the police, animal control, community patrol, neighbourhood support, St. John, and other organisations. And this is from 10 to 1 on Saturday. 10 to 1 on Saturday down by the police station. So, yeah, get along there if you've got any ideas or inquiries or, it'll just be a good community day. So that's from 10 to 1, and I'll be going around putting posters up not long after this one. And tomorrow also, Prince Harry, the DJ, comes in not long after me, later on this afternoon. I presume you're going to be here a bit later on. There's a garden tour thing happening through his gardens down in Papahua, the camping ground, tomorrow, and I think it's in the afternoon. I haven't got all the details in front of me, unfortunately, but yeah, that's happening tomorrow, so I'll get Prince Harry if I see him, which I probably will, to have a bit more of a talk about it on his show soon. But yeah, that's tomorrow in the afternoon, I think it is, so that'll be a good one. And also, if you want to get a hold of me here at the show, it's overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com, overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. Any sort of feedback, good, bad, otherwise, yeah, doesn't kind of worry me so much. And I think that'll do me for public service announcements for today. So what I'm going to do now is play a track for you, and it's going to be David Byrne. Find the mouse, here it is. David Byrne with Everybody's Coming to My House.
Coming to my house, I'll never go.
Burn there with Everybody's Coming to My House. Hope you enjoyed that one. And a few things I forgot to mention in the public service announcements earlier was that, of course, at 1:30, there's going to be a community board meeting right here in the town hall in the supper room at 1:30. So come along, have a listen to that. And or if you've got anything you want to raise with the community board, this is the opportunity to do these sorts of things. And get into that one. And then also, there's a growers market on Friday night, I forgot to mention as well, which is, I've been to a few of them now, and yeah, it's just local growers. There's heaps of stuff you can buy there, either produce ready to eat, or seedlings, or seeds, or whatever. And yeah, it's a good evening down there. It starts at 5, I think it is, 5 to 7, I think it is. And also, there's heaps and heaps of gigs on this weekend, as it has been lately in Raglan, which is great. So the best way to check out all these things and more is the Raglan Community Radio What's On Guide. That'll point you, it's reasonably comprehensive, and that'll point you towards all the things kind of happening in and around town on every day. So, yeah, that's Aaron and Mucky doing great work there, putting that one up and keeping it going. So, yeah, that's Raglan Community Radio What's On Guide. All right, here's the Phoenix Foundation with Bright Grey, and we'll come back with this with some New Zealand fisheries like history after this. Phoenix Foundation there. Hope you enjoyed that. And now we're going to have a look at some bit of a history of the fisheries in New Zealand, a bit of a timeline thing here. In pre-1800s, it's suspected that the Polynesian and Māori settlements, fish and shellfish, were an important food source to the Polynesians and early settlers of this country, the Māori. And there's bones and shells found in middens throughout the country, which evidence the early use of coastal environment for food. And around about the 1800s, of course, the European settlers arrived with sealers and whalers primarily first. And, of course, their thing was getting food out of the sea. And they imported salted and canned fish, believe it or not. But then they started catching stuff like a cod and herring, which they were kind of familiar with from their European sort of where they came from. And then finally, fishing settlements were established in New Zealand by the Europeans in about the late 1800s, targeting species like the blue cod, which is mostly down south, of course, and on the Chatham Islands, and snapper and a crayfish. And refrigeration, of course, was not around, so they just relied on curing and smoking the fish to preserve the catch. And the first sort of legislation was in 1877, the Fish Protection Act. It was the first attempt to regulate fisheries and restrict net mesh sizes in New Zealand. And then in 1890, frozen fish. The first load of frozen fish was exported to Sydney by ship. And that was in 1890. And then, yep, the first case of fishery collapse was also in 1890, where oysters are successful early export and shipped overseas in their millions. But by 1890, the fishery had been overexploited and collapsed, funnily enough. Yeah, just the first of many examples of that kind of thing happening, with a lot of native species, but especially with, fish and crays and everything like that. And trawling was introduced in the early 1900s. And trawling, of course, is where nets dragged along the sea floor. And it wasn't repealed until 1950. Where they started thinking that actually there might be better ways, and there's new legislation now which kind of there's pretty heavy restrictions on trawling at the moment. But there's also small lines and set nets, of course, from recreational fishermen happening around about that time. And in the 1930s, there's improvements in refrigeration, which sees growth of the export industry. And for the first time, fishing becomes a licensed activity. And the government restricts the number of vessels. So legislation kind of only really came in the 30s, which is interesting. And then in the late 50s, foreign vessels hit New Zealand waters. And New Zealand's territorial waters in the 50s only extended to 3 nautical miles offshore. And so large foreign vessels started to exploit New Zealand's fish stocks. And I think it's gone out to 12 miles, I think, is the international standard now. And aquaculture begins in the late 1960s with his mussels were grown on ropes suspended from rafts in the Hauraki Gulf and the Marlborough Sounds, and that's still a big industry. Well, not so much in the Hauraki Gulf anymore, but certainly in the Marlborough kind of area. Between the 60s and 70s, the fisheries export industry continued to grow, and then see Sanford, Sea Lord, and Watties, and shellfish and crayfish dominating the exports in those days. And then the fishing industry expanded yet again in the 1970s with the territorial waters around New Zealand extending from 3 to 12 miles. And, of course, new technologies were coming along all the time and bigger fishing industries. 1973, there was a UN, United Nations, conference. And the third United Nations conference, that was one in 73, on the law of the sea, established exclusive economic zones for the waters around each coastal nation. And the zone extends 200 miles offshore. And New Zealand has the fourth largest exclusive economic zone in the world, which is massive for quite a small country like us. But I guess we're quite kind of long. And it's little wonder that New Zealand has such a big fishing industry. Speaking of big, exports reached 14,000 tonnes in 1975. That's just fish exports alone, so that's massive. And it wasn't until the very good year of 1977 that the first marine reserve was established. And this was at Cape Rodney.
And it was one of the first marine reserves in the world where fishing of all kinds was prohibited. Marine reserves, you know, they provide a safe place for fish and a nursery for marine life. So that only came about 1977. There's heaps more of them now, which is a good thing. So between, by 1981, well, 1975, as you remember, I just said, it was 14,000 tonnes by 1981, and it reached, believe it or not, 129,000 tonnes, which is, what's that, you know, exponentially larger than it was in 1975, which is really interesting. It wasn't until 1986 that quota management systems were introduced, and that was, it's basically to allow the catch, allocated catch to, you know, various individuals and companies that are put to harvest a particular amount of a particular species, and they can be leased, bought, sold, or transferred. And 2000, we're coming up to it now, the total allowable catch in New Zealand waters is set at 672,000 tonnes. Big number, isn't it? And the Royal Forest and Bird Protection Society published the first version of Best Fish Guide to help consumers make a more sustainable choice when purchasing seafood. That wasn't until 2004 this came along, so that's kind of interesting. Also, 2004, marine biosecurity is moved to the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries, which is no longer, it's MPI now, Ministry of Primary Industries. And that was aimed to prevent the introduction of unwanted marine organisms that might threaten our industry. And a lot of that came from boats disgorging, I suppose you'd say, their ballast into New Zealand waters. So that's all changed around 2004. And aquaculture in 2006 keeps growing. And aquaculture now is about 20% of total fisheries in New Zealand, which is interesting. It's dominated by mussels mostly, and there's a big, massive all in the Firth of Thames, right around the Coromandel, oysters, of course, down kind of Mahia, Gizzy ways. Also up north, there's a few oyster fisheries. Marlborough Sounds, of course, they do salmon down there. And scallops and green-lipped mussels, kind of around the Abel Tasman area, reserve area, which is, you know, up around from Nelson, and there's also green-lipped mussels, of course, down Christchurch way, and also salmon and a fishery based down in Stewart Island. In 2008, the total allowable catch for the first time was reduced, and that was set at 586,000 tonnes there in 2009. Eight fishing companies control 80% of the production. 2,200 individuals and companies own quota valued at $3.5 billion, and over 15,000 commercial fishing vessels are registered in New Zealand. 2014 Sustainable Seas National Science Challenge. Yes, the Ministry, MBI, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, launches Sustainable Seas National Science Challenge, and they've come up with a lot of good stuff and initiatives since they've been established, which is great. And the purpose of that was to enhance the value of New Zealand's marine resources while ensuring they are safeguarded for future generations. And that was a great initiative. And, yeah, every few weeks I'm reading out something that's usually good that's come out of the Sustainable Seas National Science Challenge. So that's great. And just last year, 2021, the Future of Commercial Fishing in Aotearoa New Zealand report was compiled by the Office of the Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor, looking at ways to identify how we can fill knowledge gaps, increase our understanding of the marine environment, and ultimately take a more holistic approach to fisheries management, which is still, I believe, in the motion of being kind of finalised and coming out. So there we are. There's a bit of a history about fisheries in New Zealand. It's all interesting stuff, isn't it? So I'll come back to some more stuff about fisheries after this one here by Sublime, Perfect World.
Smoking crack cocaine makes you crazy. You think everything's perfect in your world. But everything's busy in the world today. So you might as well smoke it anyway. I said, you might as well. If you went like that, which you cannot tell. What is up, what's down, what is up, what's down, what's up, what's down.
Sublime there with Perfect World. And let's talk some more about New Zealand's fisheries. And hoki, of course. By hoki, that famous saying is the major, New Zealand's largest fishery is hoki. It's got a long history and it's kind of well managed now. And the stocks are kind of decreasing a little, unfortunately, for hoki. And overfished stocks last year in 2021, 23 stocks or substocks are below the soft limit, meaning they're overfished or depleted, and there's three stocks of black cardinal fish, two stocks of substocks of dredge oysters, two stocks of substocks of orange ruffy, two stocks or substocks of scallops, and again with snapper, and again with terakihi. And scallops, of course, we're just talking about in the headlines, if you missed it, that, yeah, the scallop harvesting's been basically banned right from Northland through Coromandel pretty much now because of depleted numbers. And also John Dory, Pawa, Pippi, School Shark and Longfin Eel are all overfished. And the Bluefin Tuna, Pacific Bluefin Tuna, Southern Bluefin Tuna and Striped Marlin, which are highly migratory species that are seasonally present in New Zealand waters, are managed by regional fisheries management organisations, and they're also, unfortunately, a little overfished. Excuse me. And you may remember just a few weeks ago I did a whitebait special, and pretty much all of those species are overfished as well, and one of those was the eels as well. So, yeah, there's a bit of overfishing going around, and so it goes, I guess, but, yeah, it needs some attention. But I'll come back some more probably after this one by Children's Hour called Caroline's Dream. Children's Hour there with Caroline's Dream. And, of course, we're keeping on our fishing theme and more sort of underwater. It's expanded and expanded into a lot of different areas, and there is a lot of work going on with fisheries and things, and especially around algae at the moment. And NEBA in particular is having a good look at various things to do with algae. So there's an increasing interest in the studies of the role of macro and micro algae in ecosystems, and there's potential to provide solutions for a range of global issues, including aquaculture and stock feeds, reducing ruminant methane emissions, which is a big one. There's a lot of stuff going in and around that, and I can't remember the exact figures, but it was something like if 5% of a ruminant's diet was a specific type of algae, the methane emissions reduced by something like 60-70%, something like that, which is really interesting, and a lot of potential for, especially for New Zealand, for methane emissions from ruminant animals like cows and that, of course. And climate change interventions, of course, reducing ocean acidification and carbon capture, algae can also be used for. There's pharmaceutical potential, and I believe that algae and seaweed, especially if used, can draw heavy metals out of human bodies. So yeah, there's interesting stuff going on in that area. G'day, Aaron. And also biomaterials like fabrics, plastic replacements, bandaging, and bone matrices can be made out of algae. And the growth of harvested sea vegetables and also biofuels. So yeah, a lot of interesting work going on in the fishing and marine environment. So yeah, and there's a lot more news, more and more news coming out about it, and I think there's going to be potentially a lot of solutions coming from that. All right, so there's a bit of a brief thing about all these things, and here's Barkie Courts with Black and White.
We'll be right back.
Parky Courts there with Black and White. And that's kind of it for the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. And all going well. We'll be back next week. So have a lovely week out there, folks. And yeah, take care. Ka kite and mihori aho. I've got to go. Thanks, everyone. Fire Lucy. And take it easy, folks.